They need time away to rest. I'm just awed at how they maintain the schedule that they do. Preaching, Pastor Kenton preaches Sunday morning in Lorain, here at noon, here Wednesday night, Lorain Thursday night. Something is going on Saturday, oftentimes hospital visits in between. And we all try to do as much as we can to take some of this responsibility off of them. But, you know, he is a pastor, has a pastor's heart, and he wants to be amongst the people, whatever is going on. So we pray for them as they are being restored. And one thing that if you're new to CNC, you'll notice, every time our pastors go away for rest, they always come back with a great revelation of word that they receive from God. So we are anticipating their return and the word that they'll bring us when they return. Amen. Well, in Pastor Kayton's absence tonight, I'm Pastor Wiley. My wife and I are, we assist with the pastoral responsibilities in Valley View. And tonight we're going to be blessed with Pastor Rita. She's going to share the word tonight for us. Brother Mike, would you get the podium over there and bring it out here, please? She's going to share the word tonight, and I know God has put a timely word in her heart to release to us that we can eat tonight. So come on, I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to release this into the hands of the Holy Spirit of God as he works through you. Father, I just bless you and thank you, Lord God. I thank you for this vessel of honor, Lord God, whom you have raised up in this time, Lord God, for such a time as this. And Father, I know you put a mighty word in her heart, Lord God, and let it flow out of her belly as rivers and living water, that we all may be refreshed. And I thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's put our hands together and receive Pastor Rita Wiley.
Glory to God. Bless his name. Give him the glory. We are standing. Come on and stand up and sing it with me. On holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise him, Jesus, now. We are standing in God's presence on holy ground. Sing it again. You may be seated. You know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have so many benefits. So many benefits. The scripture says he loads us up daily with benefits. Do you know that we really do have angels all around? Do you know that? I mean, if you really know that, just give God a wave offering. Sometimes they protect us from dangers seen and sometimes dangers unseen. And the scripture talks about our hearts represent ground. Good ground is the heart that we want. I believe that the environment that we have at Church of the North Coast is an environment that causes our hearts to be good ground. The scripture talks about several different types of ground, stony ground, hard ground. But good ground is the kind of ground where the seed, the word of God, can go down inside of it. And it can bear some roots and bring forth some fruit. Have you ever seen like a pot or even a plot of ground that is hard and you can't get seed to go down in there? You might have to till it or dig it, or if you're a gardener, take a hoe or a garden tool and just kind of stir it and work it up some. And sometimes people are that way. Sometimes our hearts are hardened like that. And even though the word is coming forth, we're not always open. Our ground is not always ready for the word. And a lot of times we don't even always appreciate that the music we think of as kind of like our tradition, our order of our service. You know, we have this awesome worship team and these musicians, and we come and we sing. But the purpose of the music, one of the purposes, is to soften up our hearts, to get our hearts ready for the word of God, to till it. You know, if you know a little bit about farming, you know, there's an animal, the oxen, that sometimes they go through and they till the soil to get it ready. And then they go back and drop the seed and then close it up so that fruit, roots and fruit can come forth and we can have a harvest. Tonight I'm going to share with you something God has been stirring in my heart, in my personal life. You know, anytime I bring the word, I know that God always causes me to eat that word first. And those of us, and should be all of us, that share the word of God as Christians, as believers, as those who love God, you're going to find that you're going to have to eat the word first yourself. You know, it's like being a good cook. You got to do some tasting and some testing before you put it on the table. I made something the other week or so ago, and I was tired. I had been doing a lot of things, and I forgot, and I put too much salt in it. What did you say? Hallelujah. Ouch. And some certain person, I'm not going to point any elbows, but they said, "This is too salty." So I obviously did not taste it, and I really didn't taste it. I'm just trying to throw it together real fast. But I assure you that I didn't try to throw it together real fast tonight. I tasted it to see that the Lord tastes good. Amen. So God has been talking to me about fruit inspection, inspecting the fruit of our lives. As Christians, we should, as believers in God, and I'm kind of leaning and yielding towards more and more using the word believer, sometimes more so than Christians. Because nowadays, you know, you're not sure what folk really mean when they say they're Christians. You know what I'm saying? You know, you may ask, "Are you a Christian?" And people will say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I was raised in the church. My grandma took me to church, and so and so, and I'm a Christian." And before I became a Christian, I identified myself on a few occasions as being a Christian, had no idea that I wasn't even a Christian. by way of being a Christian, I mean, I had not accepted, acknowledged, and opened my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know any better. But oh, glory to God, I found out. And I love the Lord. I believe I'm in a room with people that are God lovers. If you're a God lover, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on one more time. If you're a God lover, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not talking about churchgoers. Because, you know, sometimes we got churchgoers, but not God lovers. But I believe in this hour, we are becoming God lovers who go to church. Amen. Glory to God. Because God lovers do come to church with the right motivation, for the right purposes, for the right reason. I don't come to church, even though I did, you know, kind of fix up a little bit, put up a little hairdo, fix up myself a little bit, but I don't go to church to style. I don't go to church because I think I'm in a fashion show. I don't come to church because I think I want to be in a social club. I'm not looking for a husband. Got one already, praise God. I'm not looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. However, sometimes those things, you know, they serve as lures because we're fishers of men. So, you know, I had someone say to me today at the workplace, maybe I should come to your church and find myself a husband. I said to myself, oh, Lord. But, you know, how you going to respond to something like that? So what I just said, maybe. But in my heart, I thought to myself, you will find yourself a husband. Jesus is my husband, man. You'll find him there. You'll find him here. You'll find him at this house. We are fortunate. We are blessed to be in this place under the leadership we're under. Have you been praying for our pastors on their vacation? You've been praying for their protection. Been praying for them to have fun. You've been praying for them to have good family bonding time. I was thinking, and I'm still thinking, 22 people together on a vacation? My Lord, is that really going to be a vacation? But we should be interceding for them daily. We should hear great things. And if we don't even hear great things, we should see great things when they come back. We should see them more refreshed. We should see their family stronger. Because do you not know that pastors' children, you know, sometimes their deal is not so wonderful because they have to share their family and their parents with all of us. And so sometimes, you know, I remember when we were pastoring, I was so nervous in the beginning years because I thought, you know, so many times you hear, it's the pastor's kids that are the worst kids in the church. It's the PKs that give all the problems. Maybe, maybe not. But in their defense, I'd say, you know, you take a lot of time away from them. We do. And so we have to be sensitive to that. We have to be sensitive to how we pray for them, how we encourage them, and how we give them our love and show our appreciation, because they're paying a marvelous price that sometimes we don't even think about. We don't even think about it. Don't know how come I went that way, but I did. Anyway, I want us to talk real quickly, open your scripture tonight. We're going to talk about fruit inspection. And I'm going to encourage you to write this down. Think about some of the things I want to share with you. And, you know, the statement was made when Jesus was found at the temple at 12 years old, that he was about his Father's business. I believe that we should be about our Father's business and make certain that you inspect your fruit for God to be glorified. We should all have some good fruit. That's how people should be able to tell that we are different, that we are not of this world, in it but not of it. But I want us to start, and I shared some of these scriptures on Sunday, but there's so much in the scriptures. Sometimes you open up the Word of God and you see some things and you open it again 5, 10, 20 years later and you see something else. And it tastes good every time. It tastes good every time. So let's look quickly at John chapter 15. And I like to think of this particular chapter as a chapter that transforms us. This is when Jesus was sitting and sharing and talking to his disciples. And every time Jesus had something to say, you know what, we need to listen. And so he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Now that's the husbandman that I was thinking in my heart. When my friend said, I should come to your church and find a husband, I was thinking about this husbandman. Amen? Is that all right? So it's okay to tell people, you know, you can find a husband at our church. However, you know the word of God says for us ladies that are saved, born again, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, we don't go looking for husbands, do we? No, we don't go looking for husbands. Because the Bible says, whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing. And obtains the favor of the Lord. She's an intercessor. Don't forget that part. But we as women don't look for husbands. Men go looking for wives. Is that okay? Just thought I would put that in there. Amen. But if we're going to look for some husband, we're going to look for the Lord, the Father, this husband. And so it says, every branch that is in me beareth. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now that verse number 3 is real important. When we know we got some ugly going on inside of us, in our minds, in our souls, in our spirit, in our emotions, then we need to get clean with the word. Because Jesus says right here, you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me, and I the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Say to your neighbor, bring forth much fruit. Look to your other neighbor and say, bring forth much fruit. You know, that's the same thing God told Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, go forth, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply. He didn't even say add. He said multiply. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, it's important to abide in the word, and it's important that the word abides in you. This is how we can eliminate praying the majority of our prayers and ending it with, if it is your will. Because if you're in this and this is in you, then you know the will. So you pray the will, and we believe God for the will. I'll say it again. If you're in this is what the scripture said, and if this is in you, then you know the will. So you simply pray the will of God. You just pray the word of God. And I said the majority of the time, because there are some times when we're not clear in our understanding. And so then we just need to ask God to give us understanding. Because he said, in all of your getting, get what? See, that's why I love y'all. Y'all already know this stuff. What's so awesome is that the Wednesday night people are the people that come to get refueled. In other words, you're not driving through your week on fumes, praying that you don't run out of gas before you get to your destination. Those are the people that come on Wednesday and come to prayer. Amen. So, verse 7, I'm going to read it again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So if we're bearing fruit, that means we're showing forth that we are disciples of Christ. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 11 is an antidote for depression. That's an anti-depression verse right there. Because to be without joy means you are usually sad or depressed. That's why the scripture says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So a lot of times the enemy will bring things. If you only line up your emotions with whatever, he's going to push you. He's going to try to get you to give your joy up so he can get you to be weak. Because if you're depressed and sad and down and out, and I know things happen, and I'm not making light of that. Things happen in our lives that sometimes cause that. But when we get to the root of it, and we uproot it, and we take an axe to the root of that thing, and allow ourselves to be full of God's word, it says right here, your joy shall remain. Your joy shall remain. It says you will be full. Joy might be full in you. So when you're full of joy, you're strong. And the opposite of that is weakness. So sometimes you have to hold on to your joy. You have to be determined to keep it. Don't walk around with your joy all loose. You know, because the enemy walk right up and let's just say this is your joy and he done snatched it from you and gone on. And the next thing you know, you're sitting somewhere in a pity party, sitting somewhere sad, resenting, angry, thinking about what was done to you, woe is me. And you're not going to pray when you're weak. You're just going to lay down and sulk in it, whatever it happens to be. But we're going to check our fruit. We're going to check our fruit. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Love one another. Look at somebody in the room. Just lock eyes with somebody and say, I love you. Verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's how we're supposed to love. That's how Jesus loved us. He wants us to do that for one another. He wants us to demonstrate that in the world. He wants us to show the world something they've not seen. So I want us to look quickly at John 1:1, and then we're going to get right into the fruit. Not going to be long tonight, but I want to be strong in what I'm going to share with you. And I'm just going to read the first verse of John 1:1. We talked about In John 15, how if we abide in the word and the word abides in us, we could ask anything in the name of Jesus because we know what to ask because we've been in his word and we've allowed his word to get in us. And I love it when I hear the intercessors, because when I hear them pray the word of God, not their own thoughts, not their own feelings, but the word of God, I can get in agreement with that. And I encourage you to get into the service when the intercessors are in here. Get into the sanctuary when they come in. We've been blessed with anointed and appointed intercessors that come in here and plow the atmosphere and get the atmosphere ready. But I know that one of the desires of our pastor's heart is to have the whole church be in on the intercession time, not just a handful of people. So sometimes it means a little discipline. Sometimes it means you have to say to yourself, I'm going to come in through the door. I'm going to speak to a few people. If you're used to speaking to 10 and you're a real person, people person, sometimes you're going to have to say to yourself, I'm going to have to cut it down to like 2 or 3. You know, you got to speak to the greeters because they're speaking to you. But once you get through past them, then make your way in here and find a spot. Get on your knees or sit in your seat or stand at the altar. But get in agreement with the intercession that's going on. Because it's the word of God that's going up. And the more you're in this, you recognize it. You know that's the word that was prayed. And that's important because that's part of our fertilization for our fruit. Fruit inspection, right? And you fertilize your fruit by prayer. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And each time you see the word word, you see that it is capitalized. Underline it and make note of that. And remember that that word and God are one. So every time we handle our Bible, every time we handle our word, every time we look to the scriptures, we are engaging ourselves, becoming one, becoming intimate with his word. God was so loving and so kind that he wrote us all these promises. He wrote us all these awesome love letters. You ever written a love letter by someone that you fell in love with at any time? Maybe they were traveling or whatever the reason. You know, people who have love letters read them. And it does something special for them. But we have love letters. We have love letters that the Lord wrote for us. And believe me, we need to be in these love letters. Because he's saying a lot of good stuff to us. So I want us to just go to Galatians chapter 5, 22. And we're going to just look and talk a little bit about fruit. Do you have fruit in your life that represents the kingdom of God? Do you have fruit? Do you know if you have fruit? If you know that you do have some fruit, just put your hand up. Amen. Glory to God. You know, some fruits are in season at certain times of the year, and other fruits are not. Some fruits are in season all year round. Have you ever noticed... how many of you are more conscious of taking care of your health? Like a lot of people, I mean, because there's so much sickness and disease, we are becoming a lot more conscious of taking care of our physical bodies, eating better, making better choices for our bodies, exercising, and those kinds of things. Now, I'm sure someone else has heard of this before, that when you go to the store and you take a box of something in the supermarket and you look at the ingredients of that item, the things that you see listed first are probably in larger quantity of the ingredients. Anybody else heard of that before? So like if you see something and it says sugar and caffeine and or whatever that ingredient is, if it's listed first, there's more of that, and then they go right on down the line. What you see the least of is at the end. So as I was looking at this, I was kind of reminded of that. And here are a list of the fruits that should be in a believer's life. And as they are in order, I believe that they go in the order that they are the most powerful. And each one tags on to the other. So the fruit of the Spirit, I believe love is the most powerful that we should have. It's the most powerful fruit that we should have. And then joy puts us into peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And 23 carries the list on and says meekness, temperance, which is self-control. And then it instructs us and says against such there is no law. Now, have you ever heard this before? There's a universal law. What you sow, you will reap. What you sow, you will reap. Now, if this is the kind of fruit as a Christian, as a believer that you're sowing, this is what you're going to reap. And we should be sowing a lot of this kind of fruit. The Word of God gives us to know that as believers, we are trees of righteousness. Do you know of yourself as a tree of righteousness? Let me just draw a picture for you. How many of you know that you're a tree of righteousness? Good. Now, this next question, I'm going to give you the answer, and I'm going to tell you the answer before you raise your hand. When I ask you this question, I want everyone's hand to fly up real high. Okay? So, you know, like we ask questions and then we ask, you know, some people's hands go up and some people don't. I'm going to ask everybody, let your hand fly up real high on this one. Are you a leader? Come on now. I'm talking to leaders today. Glory to God. You can put your hands down. I saw one person back there. He's not a leader, but he's a leader. He just don't know it yet. Why are you a leader? Because you've got God on the inside of you. So wherever you go, you're a leader. You are to lead the way. You are to show the way. You are to example Christ Jesus. And that makes you a leader. So what God does, you should be doing. We're in a time where I'm becoming more desperate for God to be revealed in my life and revealed in me. I'm saying on a more continuous basis, daily and nightly, I decrease that you be increased. Are you not becoming more desperate for God? Sure you are. Am I in a room with God lovers? Are there any God lovers in the house? I said, are there any God lovers in the house? And if you love God, then you have to be one who sets an example. So you have to be one who is a leader. So if you're a leader, you're a tree of righteousness. And so if you're a tree of righteousness, you should have all the fruit of the Spirit alive and ripe in your life, ready for the picking. Give you an example. See, as a tree of righteousness, when you walk into a place where people are sad or they are judgmental or they are mean or they are gossipers or they are cruel-hearted or they are maybe just ignorant of the things of God, where people don't even know what it is to have peace. There's so much torment, so much turmoil going on. And do you know, this is the kind of world we live in today. You just turn on the news and you almost can't handle the news sometimes. Sometimes even in the morning, and we listen to the Christian radio station. Thank God for Christian radio, because they know how to temper some of that. They know how to put a little bit of, you know, you put a little bit of news out there and then you bring the Word of God in there. And so as believers and as leaders, we hear so much. Our world is so dark. There's so much evil, so much, you know, even in the workplace, when people are just talking, a general conversation, you sometimes just shake your head. And then there are times when you just say, God, give me what to say. Give me what to do. Give me how to respond. Sometimes some things just catch you totally off guard. But as a tree of righteousness who has allowed yourself to be pruned of branches that are not bearing fruit so that fresh fruit can come on every day. So when people are afraid, when people are worried, you can give them the fruit of peace. You can offer them something that will calm them. It might not be a preach time. Are you hearing me? Most of the time it isn't. Sometimes it's just the love of God being radiating through us. We should be so clear that the love of God can be felt. The presence of God can be felt. It can be seen without even using words. Sometimes it's just a kindness that needs to come from us. Because some people have never even experienced kindness. And sometimes that's how we make a difference. That's how we lead people. You don't have to go to your job or go everywhere just preaching, preaching, preaching. We got to live it. We got to live it because people are looking at our walk more than they're listening to our talk. So when we bear much fruit that he be glorified, there is a time for each one of these fruits to just manifest, to just pop up. You know what I love about the season changing in Ohio is this. You know, it seems like we don't really have spring anymore like we used to. When I was growing up, I'm from Ohio. I'm a native Clevelander. You know, there would be winter, and then spring would ease on in, and you'd have a chance to really, like, enjoy, you know, the springtime. And it seems like we go from winter, and boom, the next day is summer. You know, you had a ton of snow, and then it'll finally slow down. And you'll go to bed one night, and you'll wake up the next morning, and you look out your windows, and trees have green on them. Am I the only one that saw that? You're like, wow. But that's the way our lives should be. That we go wherever we go, and we represent life. And that we have fresh fruit to offer to people to eat. Sometimes we find ourselves slipping. And there was a lady that I knew, and she had a few issues, quite a few issues. I mean, you might have wanted to say she was just really dysfunctional. So dysfunctional that it's hard not to notice it. You know what I'm saying? The word dysfunctional is probably a word that came into our maybe the last decade or so we heard of that word. Most of us know what dysfunctional is, right? Most of us are a little bit dysfunctional, right? God's working all that out of us as we come to him and allow him to transform us. But for the most part, we're all somewhat dysfunctional, especially B.C., before Christ. Come on, am I the only one? I know I was dysfunctional. And you might discover still some stuff in me that's dysfunctional, right, honey? He lying. But anyway, he just trying to act like that because company is in the room. So I found myself almost slipping into whatever the crowd had to say about this person. And even though I could hear the Holy Spirit tugging on me, like, you know, and you know, sometimes you listen and sometimes you don't. But then one day I was on my way home and I felt the Holy Ghost convict me. Does the Holy Ghost convict you sometime, like in your car? Like on another level than he did, you know, when he was trying to get you to just like chill, make a left turn on that. And I said, God, oh, I'm so, forgive me, Father. And he said, you have to make a difference. You cannot let your ear go with that. You can't go with the flow. And he gave me such a sweet thing to say. He said, every time you hear something said about this person, even though that stuff, for the most part, in the natural, is true, he said, just say, blah, 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 needs a lot of unconditional love. That's what blah, blah, blah needs. And so then I found people repeating after me. The main enemy of this person said, yeah, blah, blah, blah needs unconditional love. And I don't even think she knew what she was saying. But you understand what I'm saying? We have to be the leader. We have to be the difference maker. We have to help people make a U-turn. We really do. Sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit will say, calm it down. Let's go and be meek about this thing, you know. I want to read some definitions about these various fruits. And when I read them, I want you to think of this as making nutritional deposits into your spirit, man. Are you following me? First one was love. Love, it's a strong affection for another, attachment devotion, admiration, loyal, benevolent concern for the good of another. That's good, isn't it? I'm going to read that one again. It's a strong affection for another, attachment, devotion, admiration, loyal, benevolent concern for the good of another. You know, the Bible says love your brother, love your neighbor as yourself. And the Bible says love your enemies. Do you know you can love the devil out of your enemy? We can literally transform people through the power of God's love. That's one thing I love about this church, is I believe people in this ministry intentionally walk on love, walk in love on purpose. I'm looking at you. You do it. You do it to me all the time. And I see you do it to each other. And I believe God is pleased with that. That's our big ingredient. That's our big ingredient. You know how I said, look at the box. And the first thing is the most prominent ingredient. That's our big ingredient. It comes from our leadership. The next one is joy. A sense of well-being, success, good fortune, or by the prospect of processing what one desires or delights in. Joy. Desire or delights in. I desire and delight in God's goodness, God's love, God's joy, God's word. Number three, peace, a state of tranquility or quiet. And I like this part, freedom from disturbance. Lord have mercy. Freedom from disturbance. We have to protect our peace. Long suffering. Long, and I think of long suffering as a somewhat a seasonal fruit, but it's because when I would read this, I would like, oh, I'll skip over that long suffering one, you know. My God, come on, can we not even do that one? But you have to do that. We have to understand how to fellowship with the suffering. That's what helps us to be in relationship with the Lord Jesus. You cannot be in a relationship with him without understanding and appreciating the long suffering. And sometimes as we mature, we realize how long suffering God has been with us. When we were doing all our silly stuff, all our stupid stuff, and he was still putting up with us. When we were in our pride, when we were in our ego, when we were in our stupidity, he still put up with us. And when we think about that, when I think about that, that allows me to know I could be long-suffering with someone else who might not be just walking the mark just yet. It's okay. It's all right. Because God has been long-suffering with us, and he's been long-suffering with you. He's been long-suffering with me. Gentleness, the quality or state of being gentle, mildness of manner or disposition. We need some gentleness. Sometimes you just need some gentleness. You know, sometimes we let ourselves get upset about things and we lose. Where is the gentleness? Where is the gentleness? Once in a while, I noticed one of my oldest daughters, she is a very gentle mother. Real gentle with her daughter, to the point that when her daughter was in the kindergarten, her kindergarten teacher observed how gentle she is, and she told my daughter, she said, you have too much patience with her, because see, by now you should have made her do whatever, whatever. And to a degree, she had a point. Maybe that fruit might have been a little bit excessive at that time, but at the same time, it has this good place. You know how in this particular situation I'm describing, it's like the five-year-old that you told her to get her coat on because we have to go about 10 times, and she's still poking around doing 100 other things, and you're still in the same voice tone. Get your coat on, honey. We gotta go. Get your coat on, darling. We gotta go. She's still running all. That's when the teacher said, you too patient. I wish somebody would be like that with me now. But that's an example. Sometimes it's in place. Sometimes it's out of place. Sometimes we need to recognize. Now on this one, okay, I need to be gentle. We need to ask God to help us to develop our fruit. Are you hearing me? Is it making sense? And then the next one, goodness, the state or quality of being good or the beneficial part of something. This was what we ought to be all the time. The scripture says Jesus went around doing good all the time. He was always doing good. And we should be about always doing and being good for his glory. I'm not saying being a goody two-shoes for people to see. Because then we're going to get way off in left field. I love this quote, and I think I created it. I'm not sure, but I think I did. It don't matter, though. It makes sense. There is no limit to the good you or I can do if we don't have to have credit for it. No limit to the good you or I can do if we don't have to get credit for it. It takes maturity not to have to get credit. We could do a lot of secret things for people. We could edify people without them even knowing it. We could give people, if we know people need certain things, we could make sure they have it, but they don't have to know how it showed up on their porch or how that $50 bill showed up in their pocket. There's no limit to the good we can do if we don't have to have credit for it. Because God sees it. God sees everything we do. Everything we do. And he always talks about the secret prayers and the secret giving that's done in secret. But the rewards are open. Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. God is telling us to step up our faith level. It's impossible to please him without faith. Faith for other people's blessings. Faith for other people's wellness and other people to get healed, or not just faith for ourselves, but having faith, praying prayers of faith. Meekness, enduring injury or insults with patience without resentment. Oh, that's a good one. Because when people insult us, we want to get them. And if we don't get them, we want somebody else to get them for us. Yeah, we do. And I have this one scripture that I believe all leaders, is this a room full of leaders? Put your hands up, leaders. Leaders memorize scriptures, don't they? And they don't memorize them for the sake of saying, I know this scripture and it's the address is here, here, here. We memorize them because, again, we're cleaning ourselves. We're getting ourselves on track. We want to be like him so we get his word in us. But this scripture, I'm giving you an assignment. It's in Psalm 119, verse 165, one of my favorite scriptures. All of them are my favorite. It's a real short one, so you can memorize this today. You can memorize it tonight. I'm going to get to it right quick. I didn't give you guys that scripture, but it's Psalm 119. We know that's the longest psalm in the scripture. And every now and then I have to catch myself and I have to go back and dig this up and eat it. This is some good eating right here. Does anybody in here know someone who gets their feelings hurt real easy? Get your feelings hurt over all kinds of stuff. Oh, they said that and it hurt my feelings. Oh, they did this and it hurt my feelings. Oh, and then my feelings were hurt. But at the end of the day, sometimes you have to acknowledge when your feelings are hurt. I'm not saying you don't have to acknowledge it. You do. And sometimes you have to even acknowledge it to the person who hurt your feelings. That's real hard to do. It takes a little courage to do that. Anybody ever experienced that? Well, you got to let somebody know, you know, that really did hurt my feelings, or that did, it kind of hurt my feelings and it kind of shook me up a little bit. And the only way we're going to be a real family is to be honest and challenge ourselves, to be honest, to be transparent. You know, if we're going to walk around acting like our feelings are not hurt when they really are, it's going to ooze out somewhere like a little nasty, pussy, sore. It's going to show eventually. So sometimes you do have to say, well, you know, that kind of really got me when you did that or just said that. But here is the scripture that helps us to stay in the right mindset when we've been insulted or injured. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace. Now, we talked about peace earlier. This is just not peace. This is great peace. Great peace have those who love thy law. In other words, love the word of God, love the things of God. And nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. All the leaders, put your hands up real high. So nothing shall offend us. Nothing shall offend us. Nada, nothing, nothing, zero shall offend us. Because the moment we start getting offended, we start clogging up our pipeline to get our prayers through. We start contaminating our relationships. We start having problems being able to be in healthy relationships. So great peace have those who love the Lord, and nothing shall offend us. And the last fruit, temperance. Habitual moderation in action, thought, or feeling. And I have the word restraint in parentheses. Being able to restrain ourselves. Being able to restrain ourselves from anger. Being able to restrain ourselves at the food line, with the table. Being able to restrain ourselves with the wrong words that we're going to speak, being able to restrain ourselves in the wrong thought life we're going to have, thinking the wrong thing, letting our thoughts just go all over the place. And you know how the enemy will drop one little thought on you, and next thing you know, all over in the wrong territory with your thoughts. But temperance, you'll bring those thoughts back and say, oh no, I shouldn't be thinking like that. I'm not going to be thinking like that. No, no, devil, you a liar. Cast down imaginations and any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm not going to let my thoughts run rampant like that. I have control, discipline, and temperance. We don't have to let any kind of thoughts just come into our head. Glory to God. And so, as I said, as we said in Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, the last thing that was said was that against these fruits, against this, there is no law. When we operate in the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. And in closing, there was one other fruit I'm going to share, one other scripture I'm going to share, and then we're going to close up. And I want to just pray about our fruits. And that's Galatians 3:13. I've got it right quick. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us. When we have the fruit, as we stand as trees of righteousness, full of fruit, and we don't just serve our fruit to the saints only. Our fruit is for the saints and the sinners alike. So at any time when people come into our presence and they need to experience peace and they're being tortured and tormented, they need to be able to come right up to this tree of righteousness and get some peace, get a piece of fruit of peace. Feeling unloved, we need to be able to say, sometimes not even with words, just I can tell when a person walks in the power of love. Because it should be penetrating darkness. It should be radiating from us. People just want to be around that. But against such, there is no law. We can actually override the mistakes we've made in the past when we activate and operate out of the fruit of the Spirit. Are you hearing me? The mistakes we made in the past, we can eradicate them and move forward with a new way. So I want to encourage you to inspect your fruit daily for God's glory. Let's just take a moment and pray. Hold on a second. Yes. Did you want to ask me something? Which one? Christ has redeemed us? Well, it was the cross, the crucifixion, that when that happens, that is like a curse. And when he hung on the tree, he was full of disease. He carried all the sin of the whole world, and sin is cursed. Yeah. Does that make sense? So he chose, it was that particular part of redemption, the plan of redemption. He did that in our stead. The tree meaning the cross, the tree meaning the wood, the cross. Vertically, for the relationship between him and the Father. Horizontally, for the relationship between mankind and one another. So that's why it's the cross. But the relationship we have with God the Father is the most priority. It's the important one. It's the prioritized relationship. Because when that relationship gets right, when we abide in him and his word, and his word abides in us, then he gets us in position, transforms us, and allows us to be able to relate one to another better in a way that gives him the glory. We can't start it out by trying to relate to each other. We got to start it out by relating to him. Because he transforms us. His word comes in us and transforms us. It makes us different. I am a different person, glory to God, than I was yesterday even. I'm surely different than I was 10 years ago. You know, I just want to share this with you. You know how if someone, you ever hear this story of this, of how someone gets rich or maybe has a rags to riches story and everyone's concerned they're going to be different. They're going to change when they get money. They're going to get different when they get on top. And it makes people nervous. Oh, you going to change. Now you are elder, you're going to be different. You know what? We are going to change. The only one that doesn't change is God, because he has no reason to change. But we're supposed to change every day. We're supposed to be new. We have a lot of changing to do. But he doesn't have a reason to change. So we're becoming rich in his word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, I bless you, and I praise you. I glorify you, God. As we take our time to personally inspect our fruit, we want our fruit to be good. We want our fruit to be full of love. We want to express as trees of righteousness the fruit that represents your kingdom. Anoint us, God, to take good fruit inspection. Help us to develop our fruit. Help us to stay close to you. You are the vine and the husbandman. Help us to abide in your word and let your word abide in us so that we can bear much fruit. That you, Lord, be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for the word. Now, as we seek to inspect the fruit of our lives, sometimes our searching is not always effective. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to come with that perfect eye and examine that fruit. And we pray sometimes, Psalms 139, 23, 24, it says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." So we do at times need the Holy Spirit to come to our aid, to help us in that inspection process. And as Pastor Rita said in John 15, we can't assume that everybody here is a fruitful individual. Because the only way we can bear fruit is by Jesus being in our hearts and in our lives. Because he said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. Except you abide in me, you cannot bear fruit." And even he said, "You can do nothing." So if we're going to bear fruit, then we must have Jesus in our lives, in our hearts, we must have the experience of having been born again by receiving Jesus Christ, because the fruit that bears in our lives is actually his fruit. As we yield to him and submit to his lordship, he expresses himself through us. It's actually his love. It's his peace. It's his joy. It's his long suffering. It's his patience and faith. So we can't do it without him. Let's stand. Let's get our altar workers to come. There may be some who want to have a fruitful life, but you're not sure if Jesus is abiding in you so that your life can be fruitful. If that's you, we want you to come so we can pray with you and lead you to the perfect fruit giver. Now, I sense that many here tonight are in that place where Jesus said, he is the vine, his father is the husbandman. And those that bear fruit, he purchased, and some he has to cut it away. You know, now I grew up in a farm. And if a branch or a fruit tree is growing and you want it to bear more fruit, you got to cut some of them dead pieces off so it bears much fruit. So I sense that's where the majority of us are in our walk with the Lord. And you may need someone to agree with you in prayer because you want to have a fruitful life, much fruit. And it may be necessary for the Father to do some pruning, cut off some things, eliminate some things, so that you and so that I may bear much fruit. Then it'll be evidence that we are the disciples of Jesus. So if that's you, feel free to come as our praise team just ministers. If you need to come this way before you go that way, allow the Spirit of God to draw you this way, that we'll agree with you in prayer. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard and not light. God bless you. See you Sunday.